I'd invite you to
open your Bibles at this time to the book of Matthew, chapter number 19. Matthew, chapter number 19. We've been looking at this verse for several weeks now. Just kind of seeing some of the dynamics here, and I want to continue that study this morning and then also, Lord willing, next Sunday morning as well. But let's stand as we read just one verse this morning, verse number 27. Out of Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Father, we thank you for recording this question of Peter to Christ. Father, so much to be learned from this simple statement. So much for us today as we forsake all and follow you. And Father, then wonder what shall we have therefore. And so Father, this morning as we continue considering following, may your Spirit speak to our hearts. Challenge us, encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Certainly the apostles, probably as none other, have forsaken all or had forsaken all to follow Christ. They had left a great deal behind, and we looked at that several weeks ago. And certainly the apostles of all people truly followed Christ as he walked those dusty roads across what we know as the land of Palestine, which actually is the land of Israel. As he traveled from city to city, from home to home, they followed. Everywhere he went, they went. In some instances, he sent them on ahead, as he did when he told them to get in the boat, cross the sea. And of course, they toiled all night. The storm came up. They weren't able to get across. But boy, what a message it is to consider that even though they weren't making progress, they kept on rowing, because that's what Christ told them to do, is get to the other side. They didn't give up just because those winds were blowing contrary. They didn't give up just because the waves were swelling way above their boat. They just kept rowing. That's what Christ told them to do, and by His grace, that's what they were going to do. And I think too often we stop too quickly in our attempt to follow Christ. Of course, we know what happened there. He then came across walking on those billows, a raging sea, and he calms the storm for them. But they certainly followed. And we began looking at this idea of following last week. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? We saw from Matthew 4 that to be a follower of Christ means we'll become fishers of men. We saw from Matthew 16 that to be a follower of Christ means we will forsake all else in life. To be a follower of Christ, we also saw, meant that we would not walk in darkness. This morning I want to pick it up in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's look at a fourth implication of being a follower. What is it to follow Christ? It's one thing to be able to say I am a follower of Christ, and yet I believe it's another thing to actually do that, to actually be a follower of Christ. Being a follower of Christ will evidence itself in a certain lifestyle. All right, number four. A follower of Christ will know His voice. A follower of Christ will know His voice. John chapter 10, verse number 4, Jesus tells us, When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And Jesus here is giving us an illustration, and he's using the shepherd sheep illustration that was so familiar to their culture. And he presented himself as that great shepherd. And those who are the saved, what we would call today the Christian, were the sheep. And he says, My sheep will know my voice. Whose voice are you following today? There's a lot of voices out there in the world trying to cause us to follow them. But Jesus says that His own that are following Him will have their ears attuned to His voice. We hear His voice in many different ways. Probably the most common way of hearing His voice is in the very Word of God. If you're claiming to be a follower of Christ and yet not applying yourself in the Bible, in the Word of God, there's no way you can hear His voice. But what does it tell us there in verse number 4? The sheep follow Him for they know His voice. We're going to hear it. We're going to be attentive to it. We're going to be listening to it. We're going to be keen on His voice. We'll put ourselves in a position where we're walking close enough that we can hear when He calls. I can't overemphasize the need of the Christian to be in the Bible, reading through the Scriptures. Personally, I read through the Scriptures twice every year. And that doesn't include if I read a passage or a chapter, sometimes an entire book just for study, whether it be for our studies here and in the church services, whether it be for the Bible Institute. Those don't count toward my twice a year. We need to be people who read. Unfortunately, today, it has become an uncommon thing to read. And if we do read, we like those romance novels. And that's an unfortunate thing. We've got to learn to read the meat of the Word of God, and we've got to learn to acquire a taste for the meat of the best that man can write about the Word of God. If we don't read, we will never be what God wants us to be. Because God not only speaks through the Word of God, but He also speaks oftentimes through the writings of man. I have a particular author I just truly enjoy reading. He's one of the Puritan writers. I enjoy the Puritan writers. But he wrote a commentary on the book of Jude, less than 30 verses, 20-some verses. And this book is over 400 pages just on those verses. And so, you know, he breaks it down and he explains and he expounds and he applies. Because oftentimes when I'm studying, the reason I like that so much is a lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to my heart about what the Word of God is saying as He's explaining it. And so essentially what I'm getting is being preached to. And oh, how I need that. Just because I'm a pastor and a preacher does not mean I don't need to be preached to as well. I enjoy going to my pastor's meetings. They're nothing fancy. All we do is get up and preach to one another. And that's the third way that God speaks to us is through the preaching of the Word of God. He says, "My sheep hear My voice." You can bet that those people that should be here this morning that aren't, they don't hear God's voice this morning because they don't come under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. Now you say, "Well, I listen to a television preacher." But you need to be careful there because that's not always God's voice speaking. Many of those that are on television, even on radio today, they deny the Trinity. One of the religious periodicals I get, he keeps an eye on that. And there's one particular Christian, so-called Christian television network, that I think he counted 30% of their Christian programming is produced or presented by people who reject God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And as they're teaching, they're not the voice of God. They've rejected God, but Christians will know the difference. Can you distinguish the difference between a true prophet of God and a false prophet of God? If not, you need to get into the Word of God and in tune with the Spirit of God so that you can. But the problem is, if you've been saved for a while and you can't tell the difference, God says, "You're not a follower. You're not a follower." It doesn't mean you're not saved, but it says you're not a follower because He says, "If you follow Me, you will know My voice." You'll also be able to distinguish, if you know His voice, you can distinguish those that aren't His voice. When you're in a crowd with your family, and I'm picturing you as parents, or some of the young people, maybe in a crowd, with your parents, and either your child or your parent calls over the noise of the crowd, you hear that voice, don't you? But if someone else's parent calls over the noise of the crowd, or someone else's child calls over the noise of the crowd, you know that's not yours. Because we know our voice. God says if we're following, we'll know His voice. A fifth characteristic of following Christ is found in John chapter 21, verse number 22. John chapter 21, verse number 22. If we're following Christ, we will know His voice. We'll put ourselves in a position that we can hear Him. In John 21, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Now, the situation here, the circumstances, is after the resurrection of Christ. Remember earlier in the chapter, Peter was a little discouraged. He says to some of the other disciples, "I go a-fishing." And he led all the other disciples that were there with them astray. They went out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. Now, that's not what they were supposed to have done. God gave them other instructions that they were supposed to accomplish. But Peter said, because he got discouraged, "I'm going fishing." The other guys went with him. Sound like a logical thing to do. But while they're out there fishing and catching nothing, Jesus appears on the shore. He's cooking them breakfast because they were fishing all night long. And he tells them, you know, throw the net down. They get this great big catch of fish that the nets began to tear. They come back on to the shore. They eat the breakfast. Jesus said, "Peter, I need to talk to you a little bit." You see, Peter had just a few days earlier denied Christ. And now they were scared in the upper room, and Christ comes and affirms them. And then he begins to doubt again and leads others astray going fishing. And you remember Jesus said to him three times, "Peter, lovest thou me?" But as they were walking, John looks over his shoulder and sees John. And Peter says to Jesus about John, you know, "What about him?" You see, Jesus had told Peter how he would die in verse 19. Or 18 and 19. And so Peter looks at John and says, "Well, what about him?" You see, Peter took his eyes off Christ and on somebody else. And Jesus rebukes him, says, "Don't worry about other people that are following me. Don't worry about other people that aren't following me." He says, "You just worry about yourself and keep yourself on track. Keep yourself following me. Keep your eyes focused on me." You see, we know that a follower of Christ will not be concerned whether others are following. They'll not be concerned whether others are also following. You see, it's easy to be a Christian in a crowd of Christians, isn't it? What about when you go into the workplace or in the family gatherings for Thanksgiving? And you're in a bunch of unsaved people, around a bunch of unsaved people. Is it easy to be a Christian then? What Jesus is saying, if you're really a follower of Him, you're not going to be concerned about what anybody else is doing. You're going to follow Him. You're going to keep your eyes on Him. You're going to do what's right. And so if the family gathers around this Thanksgiving holiday and begin to watch inappropriate things on television, begin to tell inappropriate jokes or stories, what are you going to do? Are you going to be involved with that? Are you going to deny Christ with that? Or are you going to stand apart and follow Christ? Christ would certainly have nothing to do with that. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. You've grown up in Christian families, and praise God for that situation. But not everyone has the privilege that you have. Sometimes the Christmas and Thanksgiving season, New Year's season, could be the most difficult time for some of us. That when we go and fellowship with our families, people we love, and yet we see how they love this world and they want us to be like them, and we can't because we've got our eyes on Christ. It can be a real struggle sometimes. And maybe you're there. God says, don't worry about what they do. Don't worry about what they do. It seems anymore today our nation is governed on opinion polls most of the time. There's two subjects in our political system right now that are just big topics that every single poll taken shows that our country does not want it, and yet our government is forcing it down our throats. That's abortion and that's sodomy. Every single poll has shown that the populace of the United States of America do not want it, and yet our politicians are still in our judicial system is shoving it down our throats and forcing us against our will to accept it. But it seems most of the time we're governed by opinion polls. And if we were to find ourselves on the minority side, will you give in? Will you give up? God says, if you're following me, you won't. If you're following me, you'll stay, whether it's the minority side or not. You'll have the attitude that one with God is always a majority. And if God chooses not to work in that situation, you've still done the right thing. And if standing alone with Him means death to this world, that they will then take your life, God says, so be it. He says, don't be concerned about that. He says, you just follow me. Don't worry about others. You know, we tell our teenagers this all the time. Don't follow the crowd. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Don't worry about others. But we as Christians are so concerned about that. We have trouble worshiping God because of what someone else has done to us. And we think, well, I can't worship God. God says, yes, you can. Your eyes are in the wrong place. You're too concerned about other people. He says, be concerned about me. Don't worry about them. If they've wronged you, I'll take care of it. If they're doing something wrong, He says, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Just focus on me. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. A follower of Christ will not be concerned whether others are also following. They'll just simply follow. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This morning we saw that a follower of Christ will know His voice. And as we listen to and follow that voice, we won't be concerned whether others join us or what others are doing or whether others are trying to keep us from following Him. We will follow anyway. We will follow anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Here the apostle says under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What Paul's saying is, says, look, all you've got to do, if you're having trouble with the Christian life, he's talking to the Corinthians, the most carnal church that is described for us in the Word of God, had all kinds of problems, and they were following human leaders, and they were rebuked for it earlier. But Paul says, look, if you're having trouble finding Christ, find someone that you know is following Christ and follow them. A follower of Christ will follow others who are following Him. Now, we've got to go back with the first one we looked at this morning, that we'll know the voice of God. And so we won't follow a false prophet. We won't follow a false teacher. We'll know the difference. But when there's a faithful follower of Christ, whether it be a preacher, whether it be just a lay person, I say just, I'm not any better than you. You all know that. God has called me to be a pastor. He hasn't called you. That doesn't make you any less in His plan, in His kingdom, and in this church. Sometimes we follow other Christians, and God says, you know, that's not a bad thing. Today we have a fancy word. We call it mentoring. We should mentor if we're walking close to Christ. If we have our eyes on Him, we should mentor those who are struggling. And if you struggle to follow Christ, find someone who walks with Christ and follow them. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. A follower of Christ will know His voice. A follower of Christ will not be concerned whether others are following also. A follower of Christ will follow those who are following Christ. Fourthly, this morning we also find that a follower of Christ will be willing to suffer. You see, God described the Christian walk as a straight and narrow path. Now, the idea behind that straight and narrow is that it's something that sometimes you've got to squeeze through to get through. Now, I mentioned Mammoth Cave earlier this morning in Sunday school, about that big cavern they sit you down in, they turn on all the lights. Kind of a neat experience. But in order to get there, you've got to go on some of those paths that you can't walk straight across. You've got to turn sideways. And I know I was very uncomfortable walking through some of those caves, wondering whether I'd fit between those rocks. I don't enjoy that. God says sometimes the Christian life, you've got to turn sideways. Sometimes you're not sure if you're going to make it out the other side or not. And I talk to people frequently that are in those situations of life. They don't know if they're going to make it through to the other side or not. God says the Christian life isn't always a bed of roses. He says sometimes it's extended periods of struggle. But he tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Christ also suffered for us. Why should we draw back from suffering for him? We'll never suffer as he suffered. We can just look at the human aspect of it. You know, there he spent all that time with his disciples, invested 3.5 years of his life into theirs, teaching them, mentoring them, drawing them close, loving them, providing for them. Their every need he met and took care of. 3.5 years. And have one of those that should have been one of his greatest supporters, one of his greatest friends, turn on him for pocket change and sold him out and betrayed him with that kiss in the garden that night. And then the other 11 that we would then call still faithful to him, how faithful were they? When they arrested Jesus and were going to take him away, where did they go? They took off. They scattered for the most part. We know John stayed with them. Peter followed afar off. We're going to look at that in a minute. For the most part, they deserted him. That'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? To invest your life in someone only to have them leave and forsake you, turn on you. And then there's, of course, the physical suffering of the crucifixion. Christ was willing to do that for you because he knew it was necessary. God sometimes says suffering is necessary in your life. Do you try to weasel out from under that? Or do you take it gladly? Are you willing to suffer for him? Christ says a follower is. But you know the greatest suffering Christ experienced in that crucifixion was when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's something you and I won't understand. You see, we can get in our Christian life where sin has entered in. We can be like David and go extended months, knowing what we did was sin and yet refusing to face it. And as Samson did, he didn't realize that God departed from him. You see, in our Christian walk, it's easy for us to not even notice that God is no longer present with us. Now, he's still indwelling us, but we don't sense his presence. It's not there like it ought to. We can get by and never miss that he's not with us as he used to be. But Christ wasn't that way. When the Father turned his back on the Son, the distress that caused Christ, I believe, was the greatest pain involved in the crucifixion. But you know, he is willing to do that for you because of his great love for you and his realization that there was redemption by no other means other than for him to shed his blood and die on that cross. What are you willing to suffer for Christ? Let's look at one last verse. Turn back to Matthew, if you would, chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're talking about following Christ. What will a follower of Christ do, or how will their life be characterized? First of all, we'll be fishers of men. Secondly, we will forsake all else in life. Thirdly, we'll not walk in darkness. Fourthly, we'll know his voice. Fifthly, we'll not be concerned whether others are following also. Sixthly, we'll follow others who are following Christ. Seventhly, we'll be willing to suffer for Christ. And then finally, and here's a great warning, I referred to this just a moment ago in Matthew 26, verse number 58. Here the Bible tells us, "But Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Oftentimes a follower of Christ can follow afar off. Now, what happened to Peter this night that he followed afar off? Of course, this is the night where Judas betrayed Christ. Christ was arrested, taken to the high priest's home, high priest's palace. As Peter went into that palace compound and sat with the guards, Peter did something three times. Now, Jesus had told him earlier that day that Peter would do it. And Peter denied and said, "No, I'll die with you if I have to, but I'll never do that." Peter denied him three times. After that third denial, the cock crowed in the background. Jesus turns around and they make eye contact. And Peter's heart broke. He went out and repented, weeping bitterly. The fact is, a follower of Christ can follow afar off. But the fact also is that it's a very dangerous place to be. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse number 8, "My soul followeth hard after thee." And the idea behind hard is close. That closeness where you've got to pry them apart. "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." You see, we have that promise of God's upholding hand only as we follow closely. And so this morning, let me ask you the question. First of all, are you even following Christ? If you're not a Christian, don't leave this building without trusting Christ as your Savior. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. We encourage you on the very first note of that song. Just step out of your seat, come to the front, get my attention. I'll stand up here, but if you get my attention, I'll come down and you just tell me, "Pastor, I need to be saved." I'd be so happy to have someone share with you on the Word of God. And you can know before you go home that you'll dwell eternally in heaven. If you're here with Christ this morning, the question is, how close are you following? To follow afar off is a very dangerous place. Don't miss that. Follow closely. That's what Christ wants from you this morning. Father, we thank you for your Word. And now as we have our time of invitation, Father, help us to meditate on the message. Father, I trust that your Holy Spirit has taken this simple message, nothing profound in it. But Father, that your Holy Spirit could take your Word, challenge our hearts, help us to be honest with ourselves, and then give us the courage and the boldness to respond to whatever it is you would have us to respond to. Well, thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.